for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, October the 25th, 2001. Ministers Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Frank Marzulla of DeLand, Florida, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Before we get started, I just want to make a little commercial. They've been asking me, which book did you say that taught you how to keep your healing and deliverance? And this is my book, Eight Keys to Spiritual and Physical Health. It's on the table, the main table. The last chapter tells you how to keep your healing and deliverance. Family, that's very important. You can walk out of this place and the demon will say, are you really delivered? Amen? And before you know it, you have a flood coming back. Amen? You have to know how to fight the enemy. Remember, this is spiritual warfare. We should never be passive and think that we got it all. Because the enemy will always, as long as you're in this life, when do you quit having deliverance? When you're dead and buried. Glory to God. It's on the table. Okay? Praise God. That was free. I want you to know, family, that you have to know who you are when you go into spiritual warfare. First of all, you have to know that you're royalty. We're a nation of kings and priests, are we not?
Yes, we are.
That's what it says in Revelation 1:6. Therefore, you have to take authority as a king. I remember the first time I was called to minister in an Assembly of God church down in Key West. Now, ordinarily, Assembly of God do not believe that a Christian can have a demon, although there's many that do. And the Lord gave me a scripture before I went down there. I said, Lord, what shall I bring? And He put on my mind Mark 11:23. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. And as I went down there, remember, I didn't go alone. I was armed with the word. Speak to the mountain. And suddenly I felt the power of the Lord, as I was bringing the word of commanding and speaking, I started to command. And I started to point my finger. And I started to command that knee to bend that couldn't bend for 8 years. And it happened. You see, I started to command in the name of Jesus. Because the Lord gave me the word, speak to the mountain. And I kept speaking to the mountain. You see, I found out something. I found out that I was a king. I'm royalty. I want you to say, good afternoon, King Frank. Oop, I almost lost my crown that time. See, you have to know who you are. Now, introduce yourself to one another. I'm King so-and-so. I'm Queen so-and-so. Come on, do that. Hallelujah. See, family. All right, you can cut it out now. You see, you have to know in your knower. Everybody here have a knower?
Yeah.
You have to know in your knower that you have the authority and then you have the power. See, you have to use what Jesus said. Behold, I give unto you authority. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. I had a call the other day and some woman from Arizona said, do we have the authority to come against the evil principalities and powers in the heavens? Somebody is saying that we don't have the authority. I said, well, what does the word say? We have authority over all the power of the enemy. We don't have a short dagger. We got a good big sword. Amen? It's called the word of God. Hallelujah. The sword of the spirit. Amen? Now, this is just a little introduction to conquering the giants in your land, conquering the nations. See, when I went up to Key West, the Lord showed me that there's power that I have to use what is written. I have to apply the word as it is written. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Conquering the nations or the giants in your promised land. Okay? When you have the scripture, say amen. Okay? When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go in to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. You get a bunch of the ites here, don't you? Seven nations greater and mighty than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Family, these are demonic nations. You make no covenant with them. See, many Christians make covenants, and they don't realize that they're making covenant. Now, in place of these nations, we're going to substitute different names. Pride, fear, anger, resentment, lust, rebellion, rejection. I named seven major spirits. Okay? Or you can name your own nation or your own spirits. Remember, God said that we shall conquer the giants and make no covenant with them. See, God wants us to go on in this life with all these, and in fact, He gave us the authority to live among the giants. We make no covenant with them. We shall conquer them, utterly destroy them. Just because, now listen, fam, just because you suddenly overcame the demon of lust, that doesn't make you a deliverance minister. Amen? And just because some people have cast out a couple of little demons, the little giants, they suddenly put out a sign and say, anybody want deliverance? I'm it. Come and get it. If I want deliverance, I want to go to someone that has been involved, that has good fruit of their ministry. Do you hear what I said? Lasting fruit. Years of fruit. Someone with spiritual gray hair. Because if we go before we're ready. I remember one time I was up in Connecticut, and I was in a conference, and I had the desire to say a few words. And I approached one of the leaders, and she said, well, I'm going to check it out. And the verdict was, that man is not ready. I felt disappointed. I felt rejected. I thought I was ready. But I want to tell you something. They were right. I wasn't ready. I found out, as the years went by, that they were right. I was not ready. Amen? There's a time. How long did Moses walk in the wilderness, in the backside of the desert? Well, you don't have to wait 40 years. But you see, I didn't receive the Lord until I was 53 years old. Amen? And I had to go through a lot of problems before I was starting to get ready. See, I'm a product of on-the-job training. Amen? I've never been to seminary, that's the word. But this is my seminary right here, the Bible. And I've learned by surviving mistakes. I don't know about you, Monty. You ever survive some mistakes? Every day. Praise the Lord. You see, we have to know who we are first and have the confidence, yes, Jesus in me, the power of the Holy Spirit with me. I am more than conqueror through Jesus Christ who dwells with me. I have the power in the name of Jesus. I have the power. Because if you start ministering and you're a little bit skeptical, a little bit of doubt, you lost the battle. You've lost the battle. You have to know that you know that you know what you're doing. Amen? And you have to know the power that you have. You have no idea of the awesome power in the name of Jesus Christ. God is looking for men and women that He can trust with His words. Joshua, Caleb, that He can trust with them, that they'll say, sun, stand still, moon, stand in your place. Remember, man did that. He commanded the sun to stand still. He commanded the moon to stand still. Can you think of that awesome power? In the name of Jesus, you have the same Holy Spirit power. God is looking to trust you with His Word. Now think about what I said. So that you can use the awesome power of God, not to build your kingdom. And just because we've conquered some fear or some little lust, we mustn't feel that we've arrived. We have a long way to go. Because pride can take over. Now you notice I put in the place of these demonic nations, I gave big names to them. And every inch of contested territory must be conquered. And there are one of these giants in your pathway and must be defeated for you to live in peace in your promised land. And sometimes you get the idea, it can't be done, Lord. Now, who else said it couldn't be done? In Numbers chapter 13, turn to Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 to 33. The 10 spies said they couldn't be done. When Caleb quieted people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." You know, why did Caleb say that? He had a different spirit. Amen? A different spirit than those 10. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spies out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people which we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." When you say, "It can't be done, I can't do it," when you say that, then you become a grasshopper in your own sight and in the sight of the demons. See, how many know that you can be forgiven of anger without being changed? You have a nasty temper. You cut people in two. And you say, "Lord, forgive me." Does He forgive you? Yes. If you're sincere, He forgives you. But then you do it again and again and again. You say, "Sorry. I'm sorry." And you do it over again. Why? You made a covenant with anger. You have to utterly destroy it. You have to turn away from it. You have to command it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. And then start saying, "Lord, help me. Help me." God will help you if you're really sincere. I have a booklet on the back table, Conquering Anger. There's so many people that have that. Oh, the least little thing, they blow their top. It's like they have a cork in the top of their head. As soon as you say a word, up comes the cork, and out comes the stain. Amen? How many people here have a problem with anger? Come on, besides me. Okay, you're honest people. The rest we have to pray for. I mean, don't you get angry with me now. Yeah, you can make all kinds of excuses. "Well, I can't help it. My father was that way. My grandfather. Oh, yeah. And besides, I got red hair." What are you doing when you make excuses? You're making a covenant with the giant of anger. Amen? Is there such a thing as a giant of poverty? You better believe there is. There are such some things that keep people broke. It's like pouring money in a sack with a hole in it. You don't have enough. This is the lowly Christian life. Amen? This is the lowly Christian life. This is not the way that God wants you to live. The Lord said in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." You see, family, to be in good health depends on as your soul prospers. Amen? We have to understand that. You have to feed your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, the Word of God, every day, every day, every day. Amen? You have to win. You can win the victory. You can conquer the giants in the devil's backyard. You know, we're living in the devil's backyard. That's where we are. And there's giants there. And you have to be able to conquer them. Well, Frank, nobody can do what you say. Well, that's what the 10 spies said. Same thing. And they walked in the wilderness 40 years. The Lord says that we can. You shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Now we're going to take resentment. What a giant resentment is. Man, it's an awful giant. And you can say, well, I have a reason for having this resentment. You don't know what they did. You don't know what he did to me. You can make reasons. How many have ever made reasons? I'm talking to the right people. You can rationalize in some way. And you can keep the covenant with resentment. You're making a covenant with Satan. Making allowances with the giant. Becoming a miserable old man or a miserable old woman. You may be young, but you can be a miserable old man or like one. See, practical Christian living depends on your being able to defeat that giant presently in your land. Resentment, fear, anger must be renounced and cast out in the name of Jesus. Not living with it. Not having a covenant with them. I remember I ministered to a woman that had rheumatoid arthritis. I remember I was in a prayer meeting up on the second floor, and we heard this thump, thump, thump on the stairs. And we discovered that this woman had difficulty. She had brace cane on both arms, climbing up those stairs laboriously, and finally we had to help her come up those stairs. And she sat down and she said, I need help. She cried out for help. And as I went to her to pray for her, the word that came into my mind, mother hate. I said to her, sister, why do you hate your mother? She said, well, I was living in the house that she owned, and I loved it. It was a beautiful view, and she started to, you know, describe the house. And she said, but she sold it, and I hated her for it. I said, when did that happen? She said, 5 years ago. When did this arthritis begin? She said, 5 years ago. I said, you have to forgive your mother. But, I said, no buts. You have to forgive your mother. It took a while, but finally, she said, I forgive. You see, what happened, that resentment became a root of bitterness spilling over into her body. It became a covenant. Amen? Until she finally broke the covenant by forgiving. She broke the covenant. And then we were able to pray for her. Praise the Lord. And we prayed for healing, and she was healed. It was, you know, that prayer meeting got excited. So here this woman came up with pains, and she was able to walk out without them. Praise God. A crippling spirit came in. Amen? Because of it. And we commanded that giant out of her. All right. You know, you can make covenants with, there's nothing in the Bible that says I can't smoke. Besides, the Bible says a little wine is good for you. Well, if you continue in it, okay, you're starting to make covenants with the giant of alcohol, with the giant of tobacco. You're making covenant with these giants in your land. Now you can keep those covenants, and before you know it, emphysema comes in. See? What is the devil going to do? What's his purpose? Three things. Go ahead. Kill, destroy, and steal. And that's the way they come in. It's through the giants in your land. Amen? And so we have to be able to command these giants to be canceled and broken and out. And see, and if you don't, what happens? If you keep them, you can probably command out of you some fears or something else, and they'll go. But if you keep that other giant, I prayed for a man that had a smoking habit. He came to me and he wanted me to cast out that fear. He said, I got this big fear. And I started to minister to him, and all of a sudden, a voice came out of him. You're not going to touch me. And I very seldom say, what's your name? Who are you? And but I happened to, it blurted out of me. Who are you? My name is Lucky. Lucky? And then I noticed in his jacket pocket here, he had Lucky cigarettes, Lucky Strikes. I said, you have to command that spirit of Lucky Strike. You have to give that up. Well, he said, I don't know, you know, there's nothing in the Bible about I can't smoke. I said, I'm not hurting anybody. I said, that spirit spoke out. But I enjoy it. You're making a covenant with it. And if you don't get that out, that spirit becomes a bridge by which all these other giants that we cast out will come back and seven other spirits will follow, more wicked than before. And I quoted the scripture in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Amen? That if an evil spirit is cast out, it goes around in dry places seeking rest, and it decides to come back to his former house in which he lived, and it brings with himself seven evil spirits more wicked than himself. And the latter state of that person is worse than the first. It's better not to command those spirits to go. Amen? Instead of letting them come back and bring in the seven other spirits. But it becomes a bridge if you make a covenant. Remember, it becomes a bridge. Okay. You are the slave of the voice you obey. Romans 6:16 said, you are the slave of whom you will serve. One of the biggest giants is rebellion, especially sweet rebellion. What is sweet rebellion? Well, sweet rebellion is people that come to church. Oh, and they love to sing like we sang here. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, I will follow the Lord Jesus wherever he goes, wherever he says, I will go. Yes, you will until you get home. They come and they love, they see, they week after week, listen to your sermon, your counseling, and then they do exactly as they please. Sweet rebellion. Family, all the giants of rebellion must be slain. See? And then probably you encounter the giant that's called fear. Oh, family, there's so much fear in the country today. So much fear. You know, I've been traveling when the Twin Towers were hit. I was in Texas. I was with Frank Hammond in Texas. At that time, I was visiting him. And I noticed after that, the fear that seemed to penetrate Christians, the body of Christ. Fear. Fear of chemical warfare. Fear of anthrax. Fear of biological warfare. Fear of flying. Fear. And, you know, when I came back home, the airplane was half filled. Coming to Orlando, usually it's packed filled. They all want to go to Disney World. But it was empty. And this is what's happening in the country. Fear is gripping the nation. Amen? And people have asked me, Frank, you say you're going to Columbia next month? I said, yes, I am. Aren't you afraid? No. If they hit that airplane, I'm with Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, you know, I'm way up there, I'm closer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It belongs to you while you're on.
Amen. So, you see, we have to fight that demon, that covenant of fear, that giant of fear. Amen. You have to come against it. Fear, especially fear to testify, fear of sharing your testimony. Fear. And you rationalize it by, well, I'm naturally timid. And God wants us to conquer all kinds of fear, even the baby giants in the land. I can't. I'm shy. That goes for prophecy or witnessing. By the way, how many here have received the Holy Spirit? All right, I see all these hands here. How many of you have never prophesied in a church? Raise your hand. Oh, quite a few of you. Do you know why? You're chicken. There's a giant in your land. You're afraid. You're afraid of making a mistake. You're afraid that somebody will say, that wasn't God. You go ahead. and speak. They'll let you know if it's a mistake. But speak. Speak. You're going to have to learn to walk before you can run. Amen. Well, I can't testify. I'm too timid by nature. God made me this way. My mother told me. My teacher told me. My husband told me. I told me. And you live with this covenant until you break the covenant. Amen? The Spirit of God comes upon you and it tells you to speak, to prophesy. And your heart starts to pound and you get butterflies in your stomach. And then you say, I can't. But you can. But you can. You have to break the covenant in fear. The only way you can do it is to do it. Amen? And you have to remember what the Word says. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can prophesy. I can bring the Word. I can testify. I can preach. See, you have to declare it. Amen? You declare it in your mouth, with your mouth, believe it in your heart, it becomes a fact. Okay? You can do all things. So you cast out the name, that fear in the name of Jesus. Then claim the Word of the Lord. When people see you, what do they see? They see how you act and how you react. Especially when you're driving your car, when you're driving along, you're talking things about the Lord, and the car cuts in front of you, and you open up the window, you lean out, and you go, God bless you. I mean, that's what you do. Yes. I wish I had a tape recorder in the thoughts of your mind at that time. Played back to you. And especially when you're parked in front of another car and the light there is red and all of a sudden turns green and that car isn't moving. And your hand just wants to ring that horn, you know, you're going like that. You never ring the horn, do you? That's a giant. You have to cast that out. Impatient raises his hand. The people around you see the little giants. They judge you by the little giants. See, we should worship God in all things we do. When we eat, when we make love, when we read, when we watch television, amen, when we worship the Lord, especially when we go to one of those places like we're going to go tonight and where it's all you can eat. Well, that's what you do. You eat everything. And you keep eating everything. And you go for the first time, then you go for the second time, and then you go. But each time there's a big pile on your dish. And you never think of gluttony. That giant doesn't come to your mind. But it's there. Am I talking to the right people? Amen. See, family, you can make good covenants, or you can make wrong covenants. Job made a good covenant in Job chapter 31, verse 1. He said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Have you ever made the wrong covenant in a church? Have you ever looked at someone in your church with lust? Have you looked at them? You've committed adultery. No, you've committed more than that. You committed incest. Spiritual brother or sister. You coveted them. That's incest. Spiritual incest. That's a giant. That has to be broken. That has to be cast out. In the name of Jesus. You never did it, but you have to do it. Amen? David and Jonathan made a covenant with each other. They promised to be faithful and even take care of their families. You have to make there's good covenants and wrong covenants. The best covenant is the marriage covenant. I promise faithfully to honor all my life. Have you broken that promise? All right. Now we're going to start waging warfare against the giants in our land. We're going to have a coming out party. Okay? We're going to start commanding some of these major giants out. Now, I'm not going to go to an extensive deliverance. I just want to command some of the major giants that we talked about. And I think one of the greatest, and maybe the greatest giant, is pride. Pride. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. says, contention cometh by pride. In Job chapter 41, verse 43, Leviathan, he is king over all the children of pride. So we're going to start commanding pride to go. Put away your Bibles. Okay? We're going to break peace covenant now. In the name of Jesus. We don't have to go through the directions or how they come out and all that business. We've been involved. We know what to do now. And I want you, right now, I want you to say in the name of Jesus, I command out of me all spirits of pride, strife, striving, haughtiness, self-righteousness, criticism, judgmental, murmuring, gossip, holy gossip, contention, fighting, vanity, arrogance, insolent, dictatorial, egotistical, bragging, mockery, self-assertion, perfectionism, stubbornness, and all like spirits. All right, just take a deep breath and let it out. Just come, let it out. Go. In Jesus' name, all spirits of pride, all spirits of haughtiness, go. In the name of Jesus. He's coming out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't you stop until you're all out. Striving, fighting, argumentative, contention. Keep coming out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Perfectionism. Oh, yes. There's someone here that's a perfectionist. I think it's a woman. They fix the bed just so. And if anybody touches that bed before it's time to go to sleep, whoo! Wow! She loses her top. Out it comes. I command that spirit of perfectionism to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's a man here. He has his tools all set in a row. And nobody touched that tool. Oh, no, no, don't you touch it. Out of order. Get out in the name of Jesus, perfectionism. In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Just take a deep breath and get it out in Jesus' name. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. Go. Amen. 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 All right. Many never heard of the spirit, the principality called Nagar Misabib. Raise your hand. Oh, there's quite a few of you. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. Open your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. I want you to underline that. That's a major spirit right now. Fear. All kinds of fear. Someone with the King James, the old King James. Anybody? Read it. Jeremiah chapter 30, the second part of verse 3. Do you have it, sister? Go ahead, read it, Glenn.
For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel out of Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to their land that I gave to their fathers.
Jeremiah chapter 3, chapter 30.
Yes,
sir. Oh, chapter 20. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Chapter 20. Excuse me. You're right. Chapter 20.
And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which wheresoever heareth the ears shall tingle.
Jeremiah?
That's
19. That's not 20. I think you need deliverance.
Third time. And it came to pass.
Okay, that's it.
Tomorrow. That Pesherah brought forth Jeremiah out of the stock. Then said Jeremiah to him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pesherah, but
Nagar Misabib.
Nagar Misabib.
And what does it mean?
It means fear on every side.
That's right. All kinds of fear. 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 Fear of anthrax. Fear of biological warfare. Fear. Fear of going in an airplane. Fear. Fear. So I want to command fear to go now, right now. First of all, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me. Fear of. Now, you name your own fear. What are you afraid of? Come on, each one of you are afraid of different things. You're afraid of heights. You're afraid of claustrophobia. You're afraid of losing your job. You're afraid of whatever it is. Name it. Fear of death. Fear of dying. Fear of dying. Come on. Come on. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command all fear to go. Timidity. Shyness. Embarrassment. Fright. Terror. Nagomisabib. In the name of Jesus. All right, now just take a deep breath and let it out. That's right. Get rid of it. Talk it out. Get rid of it. Come on out. In the name of your fear. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get out, fear. Keep coming out. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Somebody help these guys. In the name of Jesus. Go out, fear. In the name of Jesus. Go. In Jesus' name. Get it out of him and get it out of him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Keep coming out. In Jesus' name. Just take a deep breath and cough it out. Get rid of it. Out in Jesus' name. Get rid of it. And fear, all kinds of fear. Fear round about. That giant of fear has to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus. That's right. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of losing your job. Fear. Fear of your children going astray. Sure. All kinds of fear. That's it. Move in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but gave me a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And that's what I claim. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Let's tackle another giant now. Anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to 27, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Amen? So, remember, anger is not only an emotion, but it could be a sin. If you do not obey that scripture. See, any time you disobey the word of the Lord, you open yourself to curses. Did you know that? Anytime. I just want you to read that in the scripture. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And notice what it says in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God and his commandments, you open the door to curses. And again, in verse of the same chapter, in verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and the statute which he commanded you. See, when God says it more than once, he really means it. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. When you disobey, when you do not obey the commandment of the Lord, and every word in the Bible is a command. Every word in the Bible is a command. I want you to know that God is a dictator. He commands, and you have to obey his commands. He's not a benevolent fellowship fellow. He commands. He's a benevolent dictator. He looks after your good. But he wants to be obeyed. Or else. Okay? He's an or else God. You obey me or else. Okay? Say praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
All right. Where were we? Amen. All right. We commanded. Now, let's take authority over anger. Let's say, in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
I command out of me all spirits of anger, rage, temper tantrums, accusations, pointing the finger, Verbal abuse. Physical abuse. Attack, violence. Murder. Killing. And all life spirits. All right, take a deep breath and let it out. All spirits of anger. Anger, rage, violence, temper tantrum. Losing my temper. Go in the name of Jesus. All anger. Go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Every principality and power of anger. Go in the name of Jesus. That's right. Get out. Go, 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 go. Move. Get out in the name of Jesus. Keep coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. That's right. Let it out. That anger got to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, I think that many people, if they can get a law, if they can get away with murder, they would do it. Did you ever think of that? Come on, be honest. Did you ever think of that? Who thought about that? Quite a few of you. Did you ever say, "Ooh, I didn't mean to say that"? Did you ever do that? Yes, you did. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, it's in you, and if it's in you, it got to come out, and that anger has to go. Okay. All right, again, in the name of Jesus, I command that giant of anger to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath. Now, let it out. Go. That's it. Go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to touch these giants. I'm not going to go through everything. So, praise the Lord. All right, the next one is resentment and unforgiveness. Resentment. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, the Word of God says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." Now, I want you to know something, family, and you can minister this to other people. If they do not forgive, they're not going to heaven. Think about that. The door to heaven is closed if you do not forgive. Because those you have to forgive, those that do not forgive, Father God says, you did not obey me. You refused my commandment. Forgive others. You became an idol. You said, "Jesus, I'm better than you. You forgave everybody, but I don't have to. I'm better than you." It's self-idolatry. You made a god out of yourself when you don't forgive. Have you heard that? And if you're unforgiven, you can't go to heaven. Pardon me? You have to forgive yourself. So I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive everyone that has hurt me. Whether they're living or dead,
I forgive them.
And I forgive myself
for what I did to myself
and what I have done to others.
I forgive me.
And I command
the spirit of resentment,
unforgiveness,
bitterness,
root of bitterness,
envy,
revenge,
hatred,
to leave me.
In the name of Jesus,
go, get out,
go, go, go,
go, in the name of Jesus,
be gone,
go, in the name of Jesus.
All unforgiveness,
resentment,
go out,
get that out,
in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name,
keep going out,
in the name of Jesus.
All resentment,
bitterness,
unforgiveness,
self-resentment,
self-hatred,
go, in the name of Jesus,
be gone,
in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus,
in Jesus' name, keep coming out,
keep coming out.
These are little giants that are staying there.
Oh, Lord, bring back to the memory of your family here
those things that happened in their childhood,
those things that happened when they were going to school,
those things that happened as they were getting into adulthood,
that they had a little ought against somebody, just a little bit.
Lord, just get those little giants out now. Get out in the name of Jesus.
Be gone in the name of Jesus.
Out in Jesus' name.
That little resentment. Oh, I don't have unforgiveness in me. Well, I just have a little bit of disagreement. Get out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jealousy, retaliation, I'll get even. Go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me all spirits of rebellion, disobedience, anti-submissiveness, witchcraft, stubbornness, idolatry, self-idolatry, spirit of the Antichrist, Jezebel, manipulation, control, domination, and the spirit of Ahab being under control. All right, all you spirits, now go! Rebellion, go! Rebellion, disobedience. When you were a little child and you kept saying, no, I won't do it, you're disobedient. That spirit just kept coming up and getting stronger in you. You spirit of rebellion, you spirit of witchcraft, go! Go in the name of Jesus. Disobedience, Antichrist, get out in the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. In Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Out. You hear me, rebellion. Get out in the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. In disobedience. Doing your own thing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes. You know, they write songs. I'm being free. Doing my thing. Doing my thing. Frank Sinatra had a song about it, made it popular. I'll do my thing. Frank Marzullo said that's wrong. Amen? You do God's thing, and if you keep doing your own thing, you're in rebellion to His Word. Amen? Now you just give it a good shot. You want no spirit of rebellion or witchcraft or warlock spirit to be in you. In Jesus' name, out of every part of your body, it has to go. Every rebellious cell in your body has to go. Go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because spirits of rebellion can stay in various parts of your body. Spirits of witchcraft, especially in your reproductive organs, they can rest in there. There can be a nest in there. And we've had deliverance here on commanding those spirits out of the reproductive organs, this camp. Right here. Amen? That's where they rest many times. That's where they take and get a group, a covenant. They make a covenant. A covenant of witches. It can rest in your male organs, your female organs. Pardon me? Wherever. If they find a resting place. My book, Manual for Deliverance Worker, the last chapter deals with deliverance from head to toe, commanding the spirits that are in your head area, all kinds of diseases, Alzheimer's diseases, and so forth, and they're going from head to toe, out of your nostril, out of your ears, spirits that come out of your ears and bring you sicknesses, out of your throat area, out of your chest area, out of your abdominal, out of your reproductive organs, out of your legs, out of your feet. It goes from head to toe. And many ministers have been using that to bring healing with deliverance, through deliverance. Amen? They've been using my manual. Brother Eckhart up in Chicago uses it. He made it the book of the month one month. And I was able to sell 2,000 books. And I said, praise the Lord for Brother Eckhart. Glory to God. But, listen, there's help available. That's why we have all those books there. They're available to teach you. We can't teach you all that's on those tables. But you can get them. God gave you the money to buy them. Use the money you got. What are you going to do with it? To bring it with you when you go to heaven? They can't use paper money up there. Am I saying the right thing? Hallelujah. Where was I? Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Rebellion, amen. Okay, the next one is rejection. Rejection. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, say the Lord, because they call you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Rejection can come in at any time of your life. I often meet people from the moment of conception. You can be rejected at conception. Okay? And a spirit of rejection can come in. And that's why so many people find it hard to love, hard to give love, hard to receive love, because rejection came in at the moment of conception. Now I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit of rejection that came into me at the moment of conception. I command every spirit that was in me through my father and mother, spirits of rejection in the womb, unwanted pregnancy, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, spirits of death, attempted abortion, all spirits of rejection. I just take a deep breath and let it out. Get out in the name of Jesus. You that came in at the moment of conception. You get out in the name of Jesus. Get out. That's right. Rejection in the womb. Go in the name of Jesus. Come on. Get out. Go in the name of Jesus. Move in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Get that spirit out of him that came in at the moment of conception. In the name of Jesus. Move. Get out in the name of Jesus. Rejection. Rejection at birth. Rejection when you were born. Go in the name of Jesus. Rejection when you were a small child. Rejection when you were going to school. Rejection by your classmates. Go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Rejection as a teenager. Rejection as a teenager. Go in the name of Jesus. Rejection as an adult. Rejection by your sweetheart, by your lover, by your husband, by your wife. Go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Every spirit of rejection. Spirits of self-rejection. Go. Spirits of self-rejection. Go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Don't you stop until you're all out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Unloved, unwanted, fear of rejection, insecurity, inferiority, self-condemnation, guilt, unworthiness. Go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Unworthiness. Condemnation. Amen. Self-condemnation. Self-hate. Go in the name of Jesus. All kindred spirits of rejection. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. The last one I'm going to deal with is the spirit of lust. The spirit of lust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery. I talk to you about even people in your church, okay? Looking at them, desiring them, whether man or woman or whatever it is. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me all spirits of lust, fantasy lust, perversion, fornication, adultery, masturbation, oral sex, sodomy, incest, rape, homosexual, lesbian, anal sex, sex with animals, sex with spirits, spirits of incubus, succubus, all kindred spirits of pornography, lust of the eyes, lust of the world, pride of life, whoredom, prostitution, abortion, and all unclean sexual spirits. I command that covenant with lust to be broken, canceled, and all these spirits of lust out of me, out of every part of my body, out of my mind, out of my reproductive organs. All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Come from out. Go. All spirits of lust, all unclean sexual spirits, keep coming out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Pornography, keep coming out. Incubus, having sex with spirits. Succubus, having sex with spirits, keep coming out. In Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Every covenant with lust broken, canceled. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. You see, I have a word. I have a word for you, that those that are involved in masturbation. Remember, Job said, I make a covenant with my eyes. I want you to make a covenant with your hands. I want everyone to raise their hand and say, Lord Jesus, you created my hands. And they're to be holy. They're to lay hands upon the sick. I'm supposed to use my hands and praise you and worship you with uplifted hands. I make a covenant with you that I will not dishonor you, Lord Jesus, by the wrong use of my hands. I make a covenant with you. Help me to keep that covenant. And then, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just look at your hands. The Bible says, you shall lay hands upon the sick. Amen. See, your hands are holy. You don't use them to masturbate. You don't use them in any wrongdoing. You made a covenant with your hands. Amen. Now, I pray that you keep that covenant. I'll do my best to keep it, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I need your help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew, yes, Lord. I felt the Spirit come on that. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, before we listen, I'm not going to go through any more deliverance. I only want to talk about one more subject. We've been talking about soul ties here and there, but I want you to know that we have to break all ungodly soul ties, which we haven't done, and command those spirits of those ungodly soul ties to leave. How many never heard of soul ties? Anybody here? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Quickly, I'm just going to give you an hour's teaching in 5 minutes. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Pardon me? 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And verse 1 to 3. And when it was so, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. This is where we get the expression soul tie. See, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. They loved each other, and not in any homosexual manner, but as a godly brother loved one another. Amen? They made a covenant to help each other, to honor each other. And they kept that covenant. They kept that covenant. See, and it says in verse 3, and Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. He loved his brother very much. David became Jonathan's brother and so forth. Now, this was a godly covenant. And where the most godly covenant there is the marriage covenant. God makes your wife and you and your wife one. The godly covenant. And where God has a godly thing going, a godly covenant, the devil always brings the counterfeit.
homosexual, lesbian, oral sex, sex with animals, all kinds of perversion. Okay? And he always brings, the devil always counterfeits. But now, you have a soul tie with your wife at the godly covenant. But you can have a soul tie with the one that you had sex with that's not your wife. You have an ungodly covenant with her. You became one with her. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you go into a harlot, you become one with the harlot. Now, as we had the panel here, and I explained that if I lay hands on people, there's an impartation. The Holy Spirit in me, imparting the healing, imparting. See, such as I have, I give to you. I'm imparting. And there cannot be a greater impartation than intercourse. You become one with. And there could be an impartation of spirits. Okay? And you can have a soul tie with the one that you had sex with the witch that you went and had your fortune told, your the lines in your hand read, palmistry. All right? You can have a soul tie. Or you can have a soul tie with the hypnotist. You put because you put your soul, your mind, into the hands of the hypnotist. He had control of it. And the only one that should have control of your mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So what we're going to do, we're going to start breaking the ungodly soul ties. Okay? We talked about the blood. You can receive blood and part of your life. Or the part you can receive life. The life of the flesh is in the blood, as it says in Leviticus. So you can be taking some bad blood or some bad life in you, which could be spirits. Their life. Okay? Pardon me? Well, tattoos, I understand now, can be eliminated. They could, electronically, they can be erased. But with the one that did it.
The same with pierced ears.
Yeah. Now, we're getting into a dangerous territory with these women that have pierced earrings. But since he brought it up, I'm just going to read a scripture. Then you make up your own mind. See? He got me in trouble.
That's what we're here for.
Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. Oh, right, Lord, hallelujah. I'm trying to get the scriptures. Just a minute. Let me see. Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. When Moses went up to the mountain, and he came down from the mountain, the people were worshiping a calf. And I'm trying to get to that scripture first. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. But before we do that, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourself and change your garments. What did Jacob say? Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Do you see that? Okay. All right, in verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and what else? And all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. He asked for foreign gods. So they gave him all the foreign gods that they had in their hands, the idols, and all their earrings which were in their ears. Now, if he said, give me the foreign gods, that's the ones he received. You think about that, all right? Think about that. I'm not going to comment on that except what I just said. You think about it. All right. Now, I want to get that other scripture. And, pardon me?
I'm
looking for when Moses come down from the mountain and found Exodus 32. That's right, brother. That's the one. Exodus 32. Turn to Exodus 32. Verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Now, what did Aaron ask them? He said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." What did he ask for? The only thing he asked for was the golden earrings which they wore in their ears. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears. In other words, they were pierced earrings, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned with it a graving tool and made a molten calf. It was made only out of the golden earrings that were in their ears. Now you couple that scripture with the one in Genesis that there were foreign gods. And then you pray about it and make up your mind. Now, pierced earrings. I'm not saying about clamped earrings. See, the Bible also said in Leviticus, you shall not make a cutting in your flesh. So you have a soul tie with the one that pierces your ears. When a slave wanted to be stay with the master, he would go to the master and they would bring his ear to the door and pierce his ear and stick it, right? And he was a slave forever. Okay? He was a slave forever. And you can be in bondage to the one that pierces your ears. Now, having said all that, I'm going to see if I can remove all the stones from the campground. So they won't stone me. Honey, they bring it to the doorway and they pierce your ear and, pierce it to the doorway, because then you become a slave all your life. Okay? All right, you got all that? All right, now we're going to break all the soul ties, and you can break the covenant step with the person that pierced your ears, put a hole in your ears. Of course, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible says you're in bondage to that person. You notice I'm not wearing any earrings, because I'm not a ball player. Only ball players wear them. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Just a minute. You see, I've seen people that have earrings all around their ears. Boy, that's bondage. How about the ones in their belly buttons? How about the ones in their navel? How about the ones that on their lips? Oh, that's disgusting. How in the world are you going to kiss that person? Move that earring around until I can get a piece of your lip. Oh, it's disgusting. You're hurting the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And they even have it in their private organs. Glory, my goodness gracious. All right. Go ahead.
We have prayed for girls and some fellows, especially girls, who cannot be delivered from a pair of harlotry until they renounce and remove their pierced earrings.
Yeah. A young girl came to me and she had pierced earrings across. And I said, I can't pray for you until you remove that. No. That only emphasized the fact that yes. It's her, in the name of Jesus. I break every covenant, every soul tie that I ever made with people, that I had sexual relationships with them. Now, I want you to just think a while. I break the covenant that I had with so-and-so, with so-and-so, with so-and-so. Now, just have a moment. Bow your heads. You break those covenants. the name of Jesus. We don't want any outward manifestation. You do that now. Break the covenant with the person that you had sex with. I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. That's a godly covenant. But you do have to break the covenant that you had with your ex-wife, with your ex-husband, because you're no longer married to them. You have a new contract. Well, that was a godly covenant. All right, they're gone. Bless them. Well, if you would, that's up to you, sister. But if you made a covenant with your husband, it's a godly covenant. You were married in the sight of God. You were blessed. And some of you have to break the covenant with incubus. You've had sex with a spirit. You became one with a spirit, an evil spirit. Some of you probably had sex with animals. You have to break the covenant, there's a soul tie with the animal. You have to break those ungodly covenants in the name of Jesus. Say, I break every ungodly covenant with the and soul ties and the spirits that came into me. I command these spirits of these ungodly soul ties to leave me now in the name of Jesus. All right, take a deep breath and let it out. Cough it out. Get rid of it. Go in the name of Jesus. Everyone that you had sex with, kill in the name of Jesus. Every ungodly soul tie that you made with a fortune teller, with a witch, go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Then, in Jesus' name, keep coming out. You become one with the witch. Go. With the one that told your fortune, the one that read your fortune, with the one that read your horoscope. Out in the name of Jesus. All ungodly soul tie with occultism. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. With the sign of your zodiac. Go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With the person whose blood you took. Go in the name of Jesus. I break that ungodly soul tie. In the name of Jesus. I command the spirits to go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. All out in the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Move in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes, and especially anyone whose blood you took, who had your blood. Go in the name of Jesus. That ungodly soul tie with them. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be gone. Because that was your life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You break all those ungodly soul tie spirits. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to say, Lord, I ask you to strengthen the godly soul ties that I have with. You know, now you declare, with my wife, with my husband, with the people in my church, with my pastor. Amen? Just declare it. Amen. I'll praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God. Please come into me and take the place of all these unclean spirits that I have commanded out. And teach me, O Lord, to keep my deliverance in Jesus' name. And be able to fight the enemy at all times. In season and out. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.